Welcome to the Fuller Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday the 18th of June, recording at 9:22 p.m. and that's British Summer Time. Now first a quick look at the highlights here today. And Asian stock markets helped by Friday's gains on Wall Street, plus the Greek election results were mostly firmer, although what is noticeable is that the markets that close later in the time zone were actually giving up most of those gains as they saw some of the earlier declines, or as they saw European markets start to retrace some of their gains. Now, another exception which was big to the downside was India here today, because the strong rally that we had seen over the preceding 2 weeks in anticipation of an interest rate cut, well, those investors were disappointed because the Reserve Bank of India did not cut rates, citing inflationary problems and saying that it's the government that should be sorting out the economy, not monetary policy. Now, in Europe, I mentioned we had the early gains in the stock market, but then they were pared significantly, mainly moved to the minus column, then rallied a bit, but the Spanish and particularly the Italian markets were down. The Italian market was down on selling against the background of rising bond yields in those countries, and Spanish 10-year interest rates moved up into the, I think probably up over the 720, 7.2 level, which is the highest that we've seen really since the euro was cobbled together. Now, Wall Street and the other American markets, let me just see here, as I've been jumping around on the screen, and closed mostly firmer, modest gains of under 1%, but that's really a recovery from some earlier losses that we had seen. So the S&P is up nearly 2 points, but that's taken it to 1344.78. And that's up 6.93% on the year. NASDAQ a little firmer, up 11.14% on the year. In long-dated government bond markets, prices were a little firmer here today. The exception that I can see on my screen were UK gilts, which are down fractionally, so the yields edge slightly higher there. And to my chagrin, JGBs were among one of the gainers in long-dated government bond futures. Now, to my chagrin, because I've got a short position there. Now, elsewhere, let's see, in the commodity markets, and this was quite interesting because the, well, first let me pick up the US dollar, because that was an influence on commodities, but the dollar rallied here today. The US dollar index as I speak is at 81.97. That's up 342 points. The euro slipped a bit. It's back down to 125.72. And sterling, because these had rallied last week, sterling also down a little bit to 156.67. On the other hand, the Australian dollar is firmer here at 101.19. Now, what I was going to say is that the firmness in the dollar had weighed on precious metals, and I think they may have rallied. Well, they rallied for gold rallied for six consecutive days. Prior to today. Well, it's rallied for a seventh consecutive day because it reversed an early loss. But this is interesting because gold bullion dipped down to 1606 and change before, well, it's in after hours trading now. It's at 16.28 and change, so $22 above the low that we saw earlier in the day. And silver moved similarly. It's almost unchanged now in after hours trading at 28.72 and a half, but it had dipped down to 28.23 and a half. So a recovery there. And platinum, which had been one of the strongest recently, but that had closed down a little bit, down $5. But palladium had a good day, currently up $4.45 to 634.85. Now, industrial metals were a little bit weaker here today, with the exception of copper, which had a modest gain of less than 1 cent. But the most interesting thing in the commodity markets, I think, is the movement in crude oil, because we had an early rebound that was more than replaced. For instance, the Brent crude oil got up to 99.50 at the high and is currently at 95.82. So that's down 179 on the day. And the WTI got up to 85.60 and is currently at 83. So that's quite a come down after those early rallies. Oil remains under pressure overall. In the grain and bean complex, we had a good bounce here today on hot, dry conditions in the growing areas. Biggest gainer was corn, up 29 and a half cents. Okay. So what's going on here overall? Well, in stock markets, we've been enjoying the June rally just as we saw last year. The anticipation was correct in that the somewhat more conservative Socialist Party would actually have the most seats, beating out the new, what, how do you pronounce it? Cesek, mispronounce it, but that quite left-wing party, which had attracted a populist vote. So what that's done, or what that's signaled to people, is that those who were in favor of, clearly in favor of staying within the euro and dealing with the austerity program, but determined to lobby for some sort of easing in that program, well, they have held sway during the election. But putting together a government to rule here is not going to be easy. Greece is not used to coalition governments, and in the best of worlds, coalition governments are often a bit of a struggle to form. But the verdict on this is that this is going to keep Greece within the euro for at least a few more months, and that's probably correct, and the markets anticipated that with the rallies that we saw last week. But it's one of these cases of buy the rumor, sell the news, or it's better to travel than to have arrived, because now people are going to see the awkwardness in terms of forming the coalition. And then there are all the issues regarding what kind of token offering can be extended to the Greeks, and more importantly, how on earth do they get any GDP growth actually to emerge? So a big challenge here overall. And we also have, I think, coming up in the next few days, something that'd be far more important than the election, probably, but evidently there's a bit of a parley involving Angela Mer Angela Merkel, representing Germany, of course, where the heads of state from Italy and Spain and France to discuss growth measures. Now, there'll be a little bit of a give and take on that, but Angela Merkel is going to have to be more receptive on growth policies. So, again, I think that although the markets have severely tested those Spanish and Italian yields in here today, we are probably still dealing with a containment situation. The European bureaucrats and politicians, and I've complained, it's easy to criticize in this, but not without some justification. I've criticized this on the basis that we were seeing a leadership vacuum. But what we do know now is that the politicians are capable of surviving in terms of keeping the euro afloat overall without really coming up with any sort of meaningful solutions to cause markets to be more relaxed about the situation. So that's the reality that we live with, and it's actually going to go on here for a while. So what else can we actually say? Wall Street's relative strength is good. The ASEAN markets are mostly okay. They've seen smaller corrections than they saw last year, although we can't be sure that this corrective phase that we've been seeing is over. The most impressive thing that we're seeing within it is Wall Street's relative strength to date. And that's led primarily by the dividend aristocrats and the autonomies. And many of those autonomies are dividend aristocrats in their own right. Okay. What else to mention here? In terms of currencies, we've seen, as I said, a little bit of steadying here in the Australian dollar, and also the renminbi, which had been easing over the last 3 or 4 weeks, that steadied a little bit here in the very short term. I think we'll get mostly currency ranging rather than any sort of really dramatic moves, at least among the majors. If there was a need for a dramatic move, it's very much a need for a weaker yen overall. But you know that story well. We still have the BOJ, which has been resisting efforts to weaken the yen. It'll eventually lose that battle, but I've described change in Japan, political change in Japan is taking place with the speed of movements in the Earth's tectonic plates. And so it goes. Now, precious metals, I think this is really very interesting at this stage, as you know. I want to be represented here. I actually had an opportunity and resisted it sort of reasonably early this morning to pick up the silver that I sold on Friday at a good price, and to pick a little bit more gold up lower. I resisted it on the basis that I thought, well, after 6 days to the upside for gold, let's just see what happens here over the next few days. But I think the basic tactic, you can, and I mentioned this in terms of my own position, but the basic tactic that I'm wanting to, and that I am deploying and wanting to continue to deploy, is to buy on easing, because it does look increasingly to me as if those lows are going to hold. But again, we won't have confirmation of that until it's obvious to everyone, and that is not the case here yet. But my hunch overall is that we are now into the accumulation phase within this lengthy medium term correction for precious metals, and that this will be reflected in a gradual higher ranging over the rest of this year, probably, and possibly picking up speed towards year end. And I'm looking for gold. Well, I think gold could be then on course to extend its overall upward trend in 2013. But first, let's see that progression of a higher ranging lows, higher reaction lows, in other words, the formation of a new short to medium term uptrend. Okay, crude oil. This is fascinating. The weakness of the price partly reflects a decline in demand with the global slowdown, but it also reflects, there had been some political pressure to get the price of oil down and wring out the speculators who had long positions, and that has well and truly happened. But really, if we monitor the overall energy situation, and while I've described this, I think, accurately, as the second difficult decade in terms of a fine balance of supply and demand, there is absolutely no doubt that the supply is steadily increasing. The most dramatic increase is in the United States, where we have the shale oil and the shale gas, and that really is a huge game changer. And that same fracking technology will be taken up in a number of other countries around the globe, and that's a trend that we will see developing for a good many years. And that will transform the energy picture, as I've mentioned on so many occasions. But we're also continuing to see further strides in the renewables. And the area of renewables that's coming on most rapidly, I feel, is solar. Now, these solar installations can be put up a lot more easily than these vast wind farms, and with fewer, they're small scale developments. As you know, the wind farms, they have to make those windmills bigger and bigger to get the best output from them. They require some height also to encounter more wind, which tends to be lower near closer to ground level. So these are massive, huge War of the Worlds type machines, in contrast to the solar panels that come in all sorts of shapes and sizes and are working increasingly efficiently. Now, this is really a serious business, and you can read an article in the Financial Times today about India's very active development of solar panels. And this is something that just about every country is taking up because costs are coming down. It is far less complicated and far less of an eyesore than the wind farms, and it works. So we're seeing that development, plus all the other efforts to produce more green energy, and this is alleviating this very, very high dependency on imported oil. Now, it'll still be there in the sense that we're never more than the knocking out potentially of one medium-sized producer's oil production, and that creating a fright in the markets. But the trend, the really important trend here, is in favor of more variable supplies of energy than we've ever had before, plus eventually becoming a cheaper supply of energy than we actually see today. That is a huge theme, and at a time of all this angst regarding markets, it's also a bullish long-term theme. And on that note, all the best to all of you.